All right, joining us now is Courtney Turner of The Courtney Turner Show, and you can find her. She spells her last name C-O-U-R-T-E-N-E-Y. And thank you for joining us, Courtney. We got something very, very important that escaped my view, and it was brought to my attention by you and by Senator Frank Nicely, who was nice enough to forward this information. So you need to cover this NAC stuff. And I sent it back to you. I said, so what is an NAC? And then when I saw what this was, I started doing my own research, and it is truly amazing. People really need to understand what this is. So thank you for coming on to explain what the natural asset companies are. This, folks, is where they start to roll in their ESG and all the rest of the stuff to cash in big time and to take everything from us. Thank you for joining us, Courtney. Tell us a little bit about how you caught on to this. And it seems like, as I look at it, this whole thing kicked off a couple of years ago with New York Stock Exchange, which is a minority partner in this scheme. Mm-hmm. And it is a scheme. But yeah. Now in the fall, the SEC was talking about, authorizing this. Where are we now in this process?
Well, firstly, thank you so much for having me. Yeah, this only was brought to my attention a couple of weeks ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, and then I scrambled to learn as much as possible. So I'm very much still scrambling, trying to navigate all of this. It does seem to have slid under the radar of most people.
Yeah, I think
by design. Mm-hmm, you know. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to really figure this out and sound the alarm. So I did a show on it about a week ago, knowing very, very little, but just knowing that this is absolutely horrifying. And it really looks like, as you said, an extension of the ESG, because there is so much ESG money, but it's not nearly as popular as I think they had hoped it would be. This is part of the big land grab. There is something called the 30 by 30 agenda, which is where by 2030, they hope to seize all of the water, land, and natural resources for the purposes of what they call conservation. So conservation means that it cannot be used. And it sounds lovely. We're conserving the land. However, this means that there can be no productive use of the land.
Yes.
So they want to do that by 2030. And then this is just a stepping stone to get towards what they call the half Earth agenda, which is where half of the Earth cannot be inhabited by humans. Now, some of you may have seen this map that was going around circulating. I certainly did in 2020. And they were calling it like the FEMA map. And
I've got the map right here, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Perfect.
And because this has been going around since this was first done in 1992. And it was, yes, at that point in time, everybody was talking about the UN Agenda 21. Sometime in the 21st century, this is really what we want to have. We want to restrict everybody from these different areas. No human use when you see this in the red. The yellow is a buffer zone. And then those few places that are blue, that's normal use. So they restrict.
And it's so little. Non-existent.
It's not even half. They're not even going to. Of course, these people are so greedy. They're not going to be happy with the 30% in 2030. They're not going to be happy with the 50% of the earth. They want everything. And you can hardly see any blue areas in this map, because they want to take everything from us. And so they talked about UN Agenda 21. We've seen this map for quite a while, going back to 1992. And then about 2014-15, they said, okay, 2030, that's when we want to do it. And now we see how they're going to monetize this stuff, including the ESG stuff.
So I'll bring up one thing. You mentioned 1992. Pelosi actually started a bill in 1992. This goes way back. So this is like so many things that we see. Unfortunately, it comes to our radar, almost too late. On this one, I don't think it is quite too late, but we are close. We really do need to sound the alarm to everyone possible to do everything possible to stop it. However, this has been in the work for decades. So 1992, Pelosi did a bill that she proposed, this bill at the Health Earth Summit, that was part of this whole agenda. And then back in when I was talking about the half Earth, there was a book by E.O. Wilson called Half Earth. And I think that was back in 2016, or I may be confusing that with Dieter Helm, who that one was definitely 2016. And that was called Valuation of Nature. Something like that. But that's essentially what this is. And what it's based on is in 2012, the UN proposed a new form of accounting, and it's called, they call it SEEA ecosystem accounting. So that stands for systems economic environmental accounting, ecosystem accounting. And it's essentially just like a made up accounting system because GAAP generally accepted it. It's totally nonsensical because the generally accepted accounting principles would not work for this because generally accepted accounting principles are based on productivity, right? You produce something that has value and then it can be sold. And this is completely the antithesis of this. This is valuing Mother Nature. Mm-hmm. And so they proposed this, and there were, I think at the time, 90 countries that did sign on to NACs, or some people are calling it NAC, which stands for the Natural Asset Company. And of course, you know, many of the articles I pulled up said, but the United States has not yet signed up. Well, don't you worry. The Biden administration last year in January, 23, they created something called the National Strategy to Develop Statistics for Environmental Economic Decisions. And this, they proposed a executive order. This was in January of 23. And it was based on this to put nature on the balance sheet. So this is terrifying because it now means that we can use the land in America under these natural asset companies to offset debt. So this means,
this is how they close the loop on this stuff. And as you pointed out, Nancy Pelosi releasing this stuff in 1992. But of course, they've been planning it long before that. But they've been gradually rolling this out, setting up bogus legal frameworks, creating what this is essentially. It's like the derivative stuff. And if people think that this sounds too fantastic, just think about what they did to us to create the mortgage crisis, right? They create these securitized mortgages and created all this ambiguity about who actually has the title to it and hide this stuff and do it in a derivative way. And look at the damage that they did. This is what they're trying to do with these natural asset companies. And there is, it's the Rockefeller Foundation and two other groups that are involved in this, but a minor party is the New York Stock Exchange. And so they're all in this together in this casino.
They're all in this together.
It truly is amazing.
It is amazing. Not in the most positive of ways, but it is amazing. So you're right. The New York Stock Exchange, you would think that's sort of a conflict of interest, but they do own, they are a partner in this. Mm-hmm. They partnered with the IEG, which is the Intrinsic Exchange Group. And I encourage people to go and look up lots of videos from Douglas Edgar, who is the CEO of the IEG. And here are the words from the horse's mouth. And he talks about this partnership with the Rockefellers. So you're right. It is it's being funded. The IEG is being funded by the Rockefeller Foundation, as well as the IBD Lab and IBD Bank. They do a lot of work in South America. And they're another funding entity. It's called the Inter-American Development Bank. And then Aberdeer Ventures. Now, I don't know too much about Aberdeer Ventures, but it's very curious to me because they're involved in healthcare technology. So I, to wonder.
I looked them up, and they're a venture capital firm. And
but primarily with healthcare technology.
Right. But it's the digital healthcare stuff. So this really fits into the whole thing. You know, I talk about MacGuffins. You know, it doesn't really matter what the so-called crisis is. That's just to motivate you. You know, just like Hitchcock would say, could be the Maltese Falcon. It doesn't really matter, but you got to get people motivated to chase this thing. And so you got to get people motivated about the healthcare MacGuffin, right? Or the pandemic MacGuffin, or the climate MacGuffin. And so these people, this Aberdeer Ventures, they have been involved with this. They started pouring money into healthcare IDs and passports and things like that. And now they're jumping on board with this on the climate side, because this is going to be the justification to actually take this stuff from us. And for everybody that doesn't think this is going to happen, you know, again, think about the mortgage derivatives and financial crisis that they created.
Yeah.
But then on the other side, look at the power of government to just come in and take land. I said earlier in the show, Courtney, I was talking about how here where I live, the Great Smoky Mountain National Park, I love to go there, but it bothers me when I drive in and I see what they did to steal the land of the people who lived in Cades Cove and other places like that. They just took it. Yeah. And so that's the power of government. They've already done it. You know, they did it 100 years ago. They can do it again. And then what happens is you've got the UN coming in and declaring it a World Heritage Site and doing that with several hundred parks across the country. So that how easy would it be for them to come in as they're talking about with these NACs? They said, well, you know, we will do this if it's public land. This is how we'll run it. If it's private land, this is how we'll do it. They don't have to buy the property. They can come in.
No, it's about management.
Yeah, if the government comes in and says, okay, you can own and manage the Great Smoky Mountain National Park. And what do? Well, they're going to collect carbon credits and things like that and keep people off of it. And they will collect all that money and then they'll kick 50% of it back since it's public land. They'll kick 50% of it back to the public and everybody will be just fine with that. Look, this is great. And it's this massive scheme. The other thing I see in this is that they're going to, by selling this on Wall Street, if we don't stop this quickly, anything that the SEC has done could be undone. But if they start selling this, you're going to have pension funds invested in it. You're going to have individual investors invested in it. And they're going to fight big time to make sure this doesn't get undone. So that's why we've got such a short timeline on this, I think.
We do. Before I get to that, because that is so incredibly important, I do want to address the 2050 agenda. So if you look up Agenda 2050, you know, you mentioned Agenda 2130, there is a whole proposal for Agenda 2050 for it's a healthcare system using all this biometric data. They do it under the name of like helping the EMTs so that they can locate people, but it really is a grid. Yeah, I know, but it really is a grid. And if you're familiar with the UN's centennial plan, the UN 100, they're talking about the centennial of the UN, which would be in 2045. So 2050 is after that. And they are working in partnership with the Boston Global Forum to create what's called an AI World Society. And the book has already been written. It's in conjunction with a former Massachusetts governor, Michael Dukakis. And I know. He just celebrated his 90th birthday, but he's not slowing down. So he's going strong. And
he's like Henry Kissinger. He'll keep going until he dies in the saddle.
Seriously.
There's always the usual suspects. These same names keep coming back to haunt us.
Over and over again. But they're doing, it's called Remaking the World, the Age of Global Enlightenment. So if that's not a nod to, you know, the whole New Age movement, if you know anything about Lucius Truss, which was formerly Lucifer Publication, it is the underbelly. It's a consultancy to the UN, so makes perfect sense there. But they talk about this AI World Society, which in my view looks kind of like a cyber Satan, if you will. And it's they did a whole symposium on rebuilding Ukraine. They talk about how Ukraine was decimated in the war. We need to send more money and rebuild Ukraine so that Ukraine can be the hub for this AI World Society, which will make a grid in conjunction with all of these other smart cities around the world. So I just bring that up because it's interesting that Abadir is one of these funders in this, because it looks like, you know, of course, Region Smart also just went through. They passed a bill. It was 2716, I believe, was the Senate bill that passed through to allow Region Smart, which is owned by BlackRock. And it's a tri-state quasi-government, essentially, but they're using smart sensors. I know Mississippi, Tennessee, and Arkansas have already created this consortium, and there are several other states that are moving forward with this. So that's something else for people to look into. But to get back to this, so that's Abadir Venture. And then there's Entertaining Ideas, and I've never heard of them. I could not find any information on them. I don't know anything about them, unfortunately. But they are, but then, of course, the Rockefeller Foundation, and then the Wildlife Foundation, which was the brainchild of Julian Huxley of UNESCO, who is the one who coined the term transhumanism, and who is also a very open known eugenicist. You know, of course, so they all subscribe to this Malthusian worldview, which is essentially what this you know, is all about. And I think you had read an article yesterday that was about David Webb's book, and it looks very relevant to this. This, to me, does look like how they're going to create another financial crisis, just like you mentioned with 2008. It's very similar to the derivatives. This is made up valuation. So they're trying to put a value on things like air. The air we breathe, water, as you mentioned, the natural parks, the mining resources. But here's the difference. You talked about like the carbon credit. So what they'll actually do is you will have, you can buy natural, you can invest in natural asset company, and that will provide an offshoot to carbon, to your carbon expenditure. So it becomes an off, an offset. It becomes an offset, and that's where the value, that's how they're going to monetize it, as an offset to carbon.
And it's interesting because you keep seeing this public-private partnership type of stuff.
Right? That's what it is.
The government gets a cut on it. And, you know, so as they're saying, you know, if it's a private land, they can participate in this carbon tax stuff, and they put 5% of it. If it's private land, they put 5% of it in a public trust. If it's public land that they turn over to them, you know, like a national park or something, 50% will go to them. But they're still going to make 50% or 95%, you know, as a profit on this stuff, and they're going to be able to sell it out there as a carbon credit, and the governments are going to require people to buy it. What is interesting about this is it's this odd mixture of communism and capitalism that we've kind of seen. Yeah, exactly. Kind of fascism, which is the mixture of government and corporations. And we've seen this
and technocracy.
And we've seen this in China, but now they're going to put it on the stock market, and that's the innovation. Rather than it just being tightly held like the Chinese do it, they're going to try to broaden the support by putting it on the stock market. That's the diabolically genius thing that they're going to do with this stuff.
It is. And so here's the other thing that makes this really, really terrifying, because as you said, they put it on the New York Stock Exchange, which now opens it to a global market. This means that our foreign adversaries can now invest in domestic land. And of course, you know, when I kept reading these articles saying, oh, the United States hasn't signed on yet, but, you know, we're working on them, that I think it's because the United States is so rich in natural resources. So they want to scoop this up so that they can put a hold on it. Essentially, you can't produce on this land. Remember, now here's the other thing that is incredibly diabolical, is that you private land is encompassed in this, and primarily through conservation easements. So let's say you own a private piece of property, and then a lot of people, and there's this major push right now for conservation easements. And I think it's, you know, really it was back in 1980 when the Conservation Act was passed through, that's, you know, laid the groundwork. Again, we're talking, you know, they're it's like the Fabian socialists, they're masters of incrementalism. They keep building, and then they pull the trigger. So just, you know, proverbially. This Conservation Act, I think, paved the way for all these conservation easements. So essentially, you could have private land, and let's say you put a conservation easement on your land in order to get a tax credit, or, you know, for whatever reason. Now this becomes your private property, can become part of a natural asset company, which means that they have access to manage the land. I think that's really important for people to understand. It's not just about ownership of land. They can manage it, which means that now it would be like in your house, not renting rooms out, but you've actually sold rooms to other people. Now they have total purview over what to do with those rooms in your house. And that's what happens with this. And it's the, it, when you talk about the, you know, communism, fascism, I think it is also technocracy, because we're putting it on a digital stock exchange, right? So it is very, and it, you know, with all the other technology that could be implemented in this, I think there's a reason Abadir Ventures is involved. I don't know enough yet to make that claim, but I have my suspicions, certainly with what we've seen already.
Well, they seem to be right there at the center, whatever they're, you know, pushing the problem crises of people. Yeah. They've got the digital global solution that they're going to be able to market. You know, we look at this, and people have talked a lot about how companies like Nestle or whatever are grabbing the water, for example. They don't actually have to do that with this. That's, I guess, the genius of this. You know, they can get control of this stuff without actually having to lay the money out. And that's what makes it really a part of this whole great taking perspective, is that they've got a derivative for control. And and that's how they
and
can
monetizing.
Make sure, exactly. They can monetize it. They can sell it to people. People can come into it. And really, when I looked at this, it's like, that's what they're talking about with stakeholder capitalism. You can be a stakeholder in this because we're going to put this on the stock exchange. We're going to have this communist takeover and confiscation of land, but we'll sell shares in it. And that's exactly what this is. It's amazing to me to see that, like I said, it's diabolically clever. And and we've got to stop this thing as soon as possible. The cooperation between the New York Stock Exchange and the Securities and Exchange Commission, they're going to just give them a green pass on all this stuff.
Exactly. And so, you know, it is communistic in the sense that, you know, this is not about productivity. So I really want to drill that to people. This means that this land, we can't mine resources, you know, you can't mine gold, lithium. But what happens if say China buys a natural asset company that has a ownership of a large land that's very rich in lithium? So what happens then, right? So we wouldn't be able to use it, but who knows what, you know, they might do later down the road. So they want to withhold it so that they can, you know, monetize their assets.
Especially farmland. You know, we talked about water, but farmland as well. This is how they starve us as well. You know,
exactly.
Not only owning everything, but locking down and making it off limits to us. Sorry, you can't do any farming. You're going to have to eat the Soylent Green that Bill Gates has got for you.
You got it. Yep. At the farming, the production, the oil. I mean, imagine they buy a lot of these natural asset companies in Texas where no oil can then be extracted. So they are putting, this is a ruling. The New York Stock Exchange has appealed to the SEC to have it listed as a new category of companies New York Stock Exchange. And there is hope because this has been extended. So there's clearly been outcry. Not enough, unfortunately, but enough to extend this and derail them slightly. Mm-hmm. So it has been extended right now to January 18th. So people do need to move quickly and to go under the SEC, the Securities Exchange Commission, to file their comments. Also, I encourage everybody to put as much pressure. One of the reasons this was extended was because Marlo Oaks, who is the treasurer of Utah, got 22 other financial state officers together to make a complaint. And so they have now extended it. So it's January 18th is the last day for comments. And then you can have rebuttals of comments, I think, is extended to February 2nd. But it is really, really time sensitive. Mm-hmm. So put as much pressure, not just on your federal representative, state representative, but I really encourage even like county, because there's a lot of land ownership through the counties. And that's, you know, the more locally we can take some action, I think the more power we might have. And certainly write comments. And you can under the SEC website, you can find there's like all the comments. They're open, they're public to read. So you can read all of the comments that have been made if you need suggestions and ideas of what to say. And then I encourage everybody to go to americastewardsforliberty.us. I'm actually having Margaret Biefeld on my show tomorrow. She has been a very loud voice against all of this. And you know, really outlining this very, very clearly. But their website is phenomenal, and they have a link to the comment they made, which is about 8 pages long, 8 or 9 pages. And they go through all of the really just horrifying possibilities of what could happen with these natural asset companies and why.
Let me say it's good for them because they understand it and because they are educating people. But if you as an individual want to make this comment, just as I began the program talking about how there were so many comments criticizing the federal government, the national park system, removal of that William Penn statue, and within hours they pulled it back. It's like, whoa. And I've seen this with homeschooling against a very, very powerful teachers union lobby in North Carolina. They were, and it was a state that was completely controlled by Democrats that were allied politically with this teachers union. And they wanted to shut homeschooling down. And a small group of homeschoolers, everybody wrote in letters and swamped them with this stuff, and they backed off. And so it's always possible that something like this can happen. And so, you know, don't, you can go there and look at some issues, and you can push back against it, but you don't have to make a real erudite argument or something that's very complicated. They're going to measure the response by the quantity, by the weight of these letters and responses. And it's probably more weight if you can get some people who are, like you said, government, local government officials to chime in. You know, if they can just send in a small letter or something like that, that would also be important as well. But we only got 8 days now on the
January 18th,
so it's really getting close. It's amazing.
I will list just for people, if you don't mind, just the seven in their article, in their comment, they explain all seven, but I can read just very briefly what the seven are.
Go ahead.
Just to give people a sense. So the first one is the proposed rule authorizes federal lands, including national parks, to be enrolled in NAC or NACs. Proposed rule gives management authority. So this is what I was talking about. It's not just about ownership, it's management. So, and management for them means conservation, which means you cannot produce on it. You cannot use the water. You cannot use the land. You can't farm on it. Mm-hmm. You can't extract the minerals. So then the Biden administration is preparing to enroll federal lands in NAC. And that's what I talked about with their accounting system. You know, they have a whole... And this accounting system, I don't know if we can see this, but this is the front page of it. And it is a U.S. system of natural capital accounting, associated environmental economic statistics, Office of Science and Technology Policy, Office of Management and Budget, Department of Commerce. And this was January 2023. And this was also part of Biden had done a 15-year green economy plan. Mm-hmm. And part of that was, this was like 6 days after he got into office, he started something called America the Beautiful, which is part of this whole, they're masters of language. They always make it sound really nice.
Oh, yeah.
But it's part of the 30 by 30 agenda. Mm-hmm. And then the fourth one,
while you're talking about the management thing, you know, going back to the Bundy Ranch standoff and the Bureau of Land Management, all that kind of stuff, as Clive was saying, you know, what they're managing is trying to manage us off of the land. They're not doing any land management. They want to get everybody off. And he was the last farmer there. There'd been about 50 some odd farmers. He said, I'm the last one here between here and California. And so we were looking into the time, and it's like, okay, so what are they up to? We had seen the government turn over the Tonto National Park in Arizona. John McCain was a part of that at the time. And they'd found copper. And, you know, they had set up these national parks. They're going to be there for recreation for people. But also for the Apaches, it was of great historical importance to them, as well as religious importance to them. But for the people who wanted the parks as recreation, they came in and said, well, we don't care about that. We're going to give it to an Australian company. They're going to do a copper mine. It's going to be a strip mine thing. And they're going to create a crater that's so large you can see it from space. And so this is the kind of stuff that we have seen our federal government do and try to do. And we were scratching our heads and saying, okay, so what is it that they know about this area? Have they discovered, you know, some valuable mineral, uranium or lithium or oil or something? What is it that they want with this scruffy desert area? But of course, that's what this is all really about. And so when you look at this, then it all comes together. They're going to manage it, and then they're going to create this massive public fund that everybody has to pay carbon taxes for whenever you do anything. If you use any energy, you got to pay them a tax, and then they'll kick it back to the politicians, and they'll split it. That's what this public-private partnership is about. It's about this fascist splitting of it, and they've added this ingenious side thing of the stock market to do it.
It's just to do it.
Crazy. I'm sorry. Go ahead with the other. That's
no. You're spot on. It's terrifying. So then the proposed rule invites foreign interests to invest in NACs. Mm-hmm. And that is really, really scary. I don't know if you're familiar with it was Chi Ho-shan. I might be mispronouncing that, but he was a Chinese minister of defense. And he had written a secret memo, and the Epoch Times released it. And he talked about how a lot of the elites in China have deeds on American property already, and they're waiting for the, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, well, now they don't need to wait. They can just invest in natural asset companies and take management over the land. They already have something like 250,000.
People are starting to wake up to that and put in some local or state restrictions on that. So, yeah, they can just do an end run around with these NACs.
Exactly. Right. Well, and not just China. Of course, there's, you know, Russia, Saudi Arabia, lots of foreign adversaries who we may not want having controlling rights to our land. And then the fifth one is land trusts can enroll conservation easements without landowners' permission. And that one, I really just, it's so diabolical. You know, it's antithetical, in my opinion, to everything this nation stands for. You know, the notion of private property rights.
Yeah.
And that is literally saying that, that without your permission or possibly even awareness, that now they have purview over your property.
And let me interject here and say we've seen this type of thing already. We've had situations. First, we had the Kelso, I think, was in Connecticut, where they came in and they said, we're going to do eminent domain for a private corporation, right? And then it got worse with the Trans-Canada pipeline that they were going to do. As TransCanada was a company, they were doing the Keystone Pipeline, and they were going in and letting this foreign company condemn property, farms that people had had for over a century. They would let them condemn it and take it for their use. And so this is not a theory that they would do this kind of stuff. They've already been testing the waters, and they've already got established some precedents and gotten the courts to go along with them on this stuff.
That's absolutely right. And they do, I think that's a really important point. They do a lot of this like beta testing to see what they can do, how will people respond, and then they tweak things. So they lay out plans, you know, decades and decades earlier, and then they start building the foundation in order to execute those plans. But along the way, they do lots of tests so they can refine those plans. So then the sixth one is exclusive rights to natural processes will be monetized and assigned to natural asset companies. And that's what we're talking about with the carbon offsets. And then the production of resources is prioritized over human flourishing. And this one is, you know, just to spell it out, essentially what they're saying is that to protect that land, again, their term is conservation, is more important than any productivity. In fact, there can be no productivity. So as you mentioned, this is a way they can starve us out. And that's exactly what they're saying. And they're admitting it.
And that's a hallmark of everything they're trying to do with this climate stuff. You're going to shut down your farms. You can't have meat or dairy because, you know, we've got nitrogen or CO2 that we got to worry about, right? And so they can come up with any kind of bogus MacGuffin and tell us, you're not important. We got to save the earth, you know? And that's, again, that is... This is all about the environment and climate, MacGuffin. That's where they're rolling this thing in.
And I think it's worth noting that, you know, I'm sure you're familiar with the Club of Rome's document, The Limits to Growth in 1972. Well, their document, Global Reformation, in 1992, admitted that they created it, the narrative, as propaganda because they realized nobody was going to, I'm paraphrasing, but essentially they said nobody was going to buy the junk science that they were, you know, promulgating. But they said if they created a common enemy, that people would rally behind it. So they decided that the enemy of humanity was man. This is why you are the carbon they want to reduce. And they admitted this in their Global Reformation document in 1992. I mean, they flat out admitted it. It's a hoax, it's a lie, in order to push their Malthusian agenda.
And by the early 2000s, they were pushing this Gaia theory. And I mean, we had our kids were young, and we went to the UK, and it was filled with all this stuff about, and I recorded, I still haven't found the recording yet, but I did record it because of, this is crazy. They had this loop playing in a children's play area, propagandizing the kids, telling them that Mother Earth, Gaia, was this sentient being, essentially, and that human beings are a virus, and so we've got to be eliminated. And so that's how they see us, you know, as part of this depopulation thing. It's how they justify it, that we're just a virus, and the Earth is more important than you, and the Earth is actually this sentient being. It's absolutely crazy, but that's what they're pushing with people. And, you know, the other thing that concerns me about this, Courtney, was the fact that Wall Street involvement in this. And we go back and we look at presidents, especially with Trump, you know, everything about the kind of the only metric that really mattered was how is Wall Street doing, right? That's how these people are focused on this. And we saw during the lockdowns, Trump's lockdowns in 2020, you know, the Wall Street companies, they were essential, but you are not essential. This is the mindset of all these politicians in both parties, including Trump. This is how this thing is going to roll out. They don't care about anything but Wall Street because that's how they're going to exercise their control. That's how they're going to make sure that we own nothing and that we're kicked off of all the land. I've watched this for so long and I kept thinking, how are they going to do it? Well, now we know.
Now we know. Yeah, this is exactly how they plan to roll it out. And that's right. And I think that is a really important point for people to understand. You know, I talk a lot about the Hegelian dialectic. They hit from both ends, but both sides are marching towards the omega point. You know, that's Hegel would call it the omega point, which is for him, he said that state equals God. And for these people, I call them the parasite class. the state is the worldwide governing body, the centralized governing body of the world that they're trying to create, along with their centralized world religion, which, from my vantage point, looks like they're trying to create a AI god. Seems to be where they're going.
And I think also when you look at this and the stock market aspect of it, you know, I said for the longest time that I really don't think it's going to be like a centralized government in anywhere more so than the UN. They're exercising a lot of control. But I said it'll be a global governance. And this global governance will be, as they keep telling us, it'll be a public-private partnership between the governments and this corporatocracy that is over and above everything, and how they're going to sell shares in it and all the rest of the stuff. And now we can see how they're going to sell the shares in it. Now we can see how the corporations and the governments are going to ally. I think this natural asset company thing, that is really the way they're going to roll this stuff out. And they're talking about how they see it as $4 quadrillion worth of assets out there.
They just do.
Unbelievable. You know, you're talking about $4,000 trillion that are out there. That's the kind of money that these people are looking at by locking everything up, taking control of water, of air, of farmland, of everything.
Yeah, absolutely. And that number, as astronomical as it is made up. I mean, they're literally just placing a value on things that, you know, of their own admission cannot be valuated.
Yeah.
They've always said that was the problem. And how did they achieve this valuation? By creating a voodoo accounting system.
Yeah.
I mean, it's literally a made up nonsensical accounting system because of their own admission, their own words, the generally accepted accounting principles do not work. Why do they not work? Because they're based on production. They're based on actually having a product to sell. And now they're doing the opposite. This is about the degrowth agenda. This is about having no production you know, in their words, conserving. And of course, they're using the climate narrative as a means of pushing it through the climate crisis, as they call it. But
yeah, it really is a feudal system. And they get these grants from, you know, the king now is a stock market. It's going to grab access to this stuff. Yeah, you still have the nations that are there, and they're going to play a role in terms of administration of this. But the governance will be global, and it will be this is kind of stakeholder thing. What were some of the other things that they were talking about in their 7 or 8 point?
Those were the 7 points that they outlined, and then they go into detail on, you know, what that would mean. Is a pretty long article. So they do go through what each of those are. But let me see if I can find any other things.
And let me just say, too, we'll put this in the video on Rockfin. Thank you very much, Jen Jones. Thank you for the tip. And she also gave us a link to file your comments about the national asset companies. And we got a link there. We'll put that in the description and link to view the comments. So she's already given that to me. Thank you for saving me the time of looking that up. And on Rockfin, Serge the Purge, thank you for the tip. He says, if anyone wants a lesson in what one stock market move can do to kill a currency, look at 1815. Nathan Rothschild's claim that Britain lost the war to deflate the currency so he could buy all of it at a lower price, which led him to have more of a stake in government than anyone else. Who controls the money supply controls the government. That's absolutely true. It's going to be a financial takeover with this stuff.
Well, and Margaret Biefeld had a really great quote, about property rights. Said that we either own property or we become the property that's owned.
That's right. That's right.
Right? That's right. I wanted to point out also, I found this in my research, that they hired a publicity firm. It's called Confluence Partners. I'm not familiar with them, but it was the IEG, the Intrinsic Exchange Group, who hired this marketing company. And I just thought it was very interesting because they talk about it very openly on their website, how the IEG was like a case study and that it was very important to poise the narratives for journalists. So they're really trying to position, the media for how to relay what these are, these natural asset companies, and how we should convey this to the public. And then they talk about also how to market it to NGOs. And I just thought that was all very interesting, that they clearly realized this was not going to be very widely popular. They needed to hire a publicity marketing company in order to craft their narratives for them.
And they're going to be working on that quite a bit this next week at the World Economic Forum. Whenever they have their meetings, they put out massive number of articles and all these, and that's where they go together to get their talking points, to lay the stuff out for the mainstream media to parrot and to repackage and to keep feeding to the public for the rest of the year. So that's coming up this next week. But, that's on the 15th. And then on the 18th, we're going to be quietly rolling out this thing, to do a stock market takeover of natural assets throughout the country. It truly is amazing.
And I put up a bunch of articles on my Twitter because the World Economic Forum has been preparing for this for quite a while. And there's several articles where they talk about, the valuation of natural asset companies, the valuation of natural resources. So you go to my profile and you type in WEF. I linked a whole bunch of articles because I couldn't fit them into the broadcast that I did. It was 1 hour long and there's several of them. But so again, they've been doing this for a long time. But you can see in the past 2 years, those articles seem to ramp up. So yes. The World Economic Forum and the UN are very much working in partnership on this.
It is a bit of a process. And, again, when I looked at this, it's like, that's why ESG makes so much sense. And you're seeing articles about how people are really angry about how BlackRock and State Street and they have been pushing this ESG stuff and essentially blackmailing publicly held companies saying, we've got a lot of your stock and we want you to do this and this environmentally and, with the social agendas that they're pushing. But that was really kind of the blackmail model. And you're looking at this and you're saying, but where do these people get paid with this? And we've even had lawsuits led by the Tennessee State Attorney General Scarametti saying it's fundamentally dishonest. You're out there telling people that, that you're a money-making enterprise here as a BlackRock and getting them to invest in BlackRock so you can buy shares in these companies. But then you're getting the companies to do stuff that undermines the value of your investment. And so you're being dishonest about this. You're not doing this for financial reasons. You're doing it for your political agenda or whatever. But now you can see the financial side of this kicking in with the NAC. Yeah. And so that's where the payoff is. They're always playing the long game. And just as people are as people are catching on to this ESG stuff, now they're going to pivot to this NAC stuff, which is going to be not only for profit, but for outrageous profit that they're going
outrageous
to
come
out with.
Outrageous
profit. Everything. It truly is amazing. And I just keep looking at this. You keep saying amazing, amazing. I know I'm repeating myself here, but I when I saw this thing, it's like, whoa, what a scheme.
And the fact that so few people know anything about it.
Yeah.
I mean, they brought this up during, I guess, like Christmas when most people would not be paying attention.
Yeah.
what a surprise. Yeah, exactly. But the fact that they've extended it does mean that there has been pushback and they're feeling it. Mm-hmm. So I think that is encouraging. We just need a lot more of it.
Yeah.
When you bring up BlackRock, I don't know enough about it. I'm going to do a dive on it this week. But Region Smart is owned by BlackRock. And that is that tri-state quasi-government that they're creating using smart sensors. And yeah, and the Senate has passed through a bill on that already. I don't know how it's tied to this, but I imagine it is. Yeah. So that seems to be how they work. It's usually all connected. So
it really is global governance that is planting the flag and seizing this property. And the other thing I looked at is like, yeah, we know that they want to set up this kind of serfdom where we own nothing, we rent everything, right? Everything is about rental. And so this fits perfectly into that paradigm of you will own nothing and you will rent everything from us. And it really does go back to kind of a feudalism where, you know, if somebody had connections to the monarchy or they liked them or whatever, they would give them, you know, a fiefdom. And, you know, they kick money back to the monarch and all the rest of the stuff, but they would just grant this to them. And that's really what is going to be happening here. Who gives them the right to take this stuff? And but of course, they've done this over and over again within the United States and other places with their national parks and things like that. And then, you know, turning it over to kind of a UN supervision with the World Heritage thing. And then to take the example of the Great Smoky Mountains, since there were roads that ran through it, the state of Tennessee, once, you know, upon a time, states did exercise some authority, and they said, well, you're not going to charge people to go into that park. So we were the last park that they didn't charge people to go into, and they still don't charge people to actually go into it. But now they came up with a scheme where they said, well, we're going to charge you if you stop. And so you can't park. And so that's a way that they gradually start monetizing this stuff. And, you know, and but now they're just going to turn it over to Wall Street. Who knows what Wall Street will do with all this stuff? It is insane. Really is.
It is insane. And you're right. Actually, of their own words, they do use the term governance, global governance. So they do say that as opposed to government. That is very accurate. And it is obviously, we can see it. It's being pushed through private public partnership.
Right. And they'll keep the labels of different countries. They won't do away with America, but America will be subservient to them in the same way that, you know, since the Civil War, we've seen the states become more and more subservient to the federal government. They still keep them around and still give them some things that are within their purview, but it is going to be this centralized thing, and it'll gradually get stronger and stronger and stronger as we've seen the central government get stronger and stronger since the Civil War. It's going to be the same type of approach. Well, thank
if you read, I just want to address that. If you read Brzezinski, and I think Attali also talked about it. He was known as like the French Kissinger. They talk of
a French Kissinger.
the Kissinger of France or whatever. The futurists, you know, people think they're so prescient, but it's pretty easy to predict the future when you planned it, you know.
And when you execute it.
And then you execute it. You know, that it's amazing how that works out. But they talk about this. They talk about how they want to disintegrate nation states. However, there'll be remnants of a nation state through power blocks. So, and you've seen this, attempt to execute that through things like NATO. They tried with the North America treaty, right? They're trying to create these power blocks, but they're not necessarily nation states anymore. And that was their goal. I don't know how successful they'll be in it, but I think it's important for people to be aware that those were written plans that they were attempting to execute. And then, of course, you would have this public-private partnership, these corporatocracy, which is also going to work in conjunction with a technocracy. And I do think they want to roll out like a UBI with a digital currency where you're getting carbon credits. And I think these natural asset companies are a huge part of that agenda as well. So
it really is the real threats to us always run through the financial system. You know, when you look at Zbigniew Brzezinski and his trilateral designs and how he wanted to create three regions and then unite those three regions. And we saw that attempt to put that through the Trans-Pacific Partnership and the Transatlantic Partnership stuff.
Exactly.
Fortunately, those have been put on the back burner for now. Yeah. But that was the idea. The same thing they did with Europe. First, we'll create a common market for trade purposes, and then we'll become more and more financially integrated. Then we'll go to a common currency and so forth, and then a governance. And so it always begins, you know, this governance for these people always begins with a financial side to it. But the scary thing, of course, is Zbigniew Brzezinski's final vision of the technocratic state.
Exactly.
Where they will know everything that you're going to do before you do it and be able to predict what you're going to do and watch everything you're going to do. Well, that's what the CBDC is about, and Universal Basic Income. And he was talking about this in the 1970s. That's why they selected him and put him in the position of really kind of controlling the Carter administration. You know, but it's these people like Kissinger and Brzezinski and the French Kissinger
that is out there. Jacques Attali.
You just call him the French kisser, I guess, is what we call this guy. But I never heard of him before. But that's like you said, they can predict this because they are going to be, as Karl Rove said, we are history's actors, and we're going to make this happen. And you could go analyze what we're going to do. But now that we know what the plan is, there are 15-minute cities, there's CBDC stuff and all the rest of this stuff. Now it's time, folks. There's not a lot of time. They want to roll this stuff out in the next 4 or 5 years. They're going to roll it out, and then whoever's the next president, they're going to roll it out with that guy. And they're already rolling this stuff out in terms of the financial constructs, and that's what we need to oppose. And so we'll put that stuff up on the comments of this. Yeah. And thank you so much for coming on and telling us about it. Again, you can find Courtney at CourtneyTurner.com, and she spells Courtney CourtneyTurney, Courtney Turner Show. Thank you so much, Courtney. Appreciate that.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. And I am bringing attention to this because it's really important. And I think we do have some power to stop it.
I did
want to address, you said Karl Rove says that we are history's actors. Mm-hmm. You know, that is also what Heidegger, Hegel, and Marx say as well. You know, history uses people and discards them to advance their agenda.
It can't be that you got a Republican campaign guy quoting Marx.
I just wanted to point that out. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they're on the same page, aren't they? It's this phony illusion of Democrats and Republicans. And here you got this guy, George W. Bush's campaign guy, quoting Marx. That's so telling, isn't it? Thank you so much, Courtney. Thank you for what you do. And again, very important issue. We're going to try to get the word out, and we'll do what we can about this. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. Yeah, I think Senator Nicely, who introduced us, has requested that I come speak at the Capitol next week. I'm waiting to hear back. Hopefully.
Senator Nicely understands what's going on. It's very rare that you get somebody that's got the integrity and the discernment that he has. And we really are fortunate to have him here in Tennessee.
Agreed.
The David Knight Show is a critical thinking super spreader. If you've been exposed to logic by listening to the David Knight Show, please do your part and try not to spread it. Financial support or simply telling others about the show causes this dangerous information to spread farther. People have to trust me. I mean, trust the science. Wear your mask. Take your vaccine. Don't ask questions.
Using free speech to free minds. It's the David Knight Show.